Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands high. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. Father, thank you for every life here this morning. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you. Breathe upon this service. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. In Jesus' precious name. Can we wave our hands and give the Lord the praise? Please, before you sit down, I want you to help me to praise God for a successful trip to Pakistan and back. Successful trip, successful crusade, successful miracle festival. You will see the clip shortly. I would have said let's celebrate, but we'll take the time to do that after we show you the clip. But one more time, wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Father, you are the only one who could do the things we saw. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We glorify you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. In the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone to church today. All the way from Pakistan. Hallelujah. I didn't say all the way from America. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly, we're looking at a subject that most times is not taught in church, but is very, very critical to life. It is secrets of resources of financial multiplication. Secrets. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply. That is where we are. Resources multiplication. Our objective is to understand what to do to arrive at resources of financial multiplication. From the first service, we established that to experience dominion, to experience financial dominion, we must first experience financial multiplication. Dominion is before multiplication. Sorry? Multiplication is before dominion. Dominion is preceded by multiplication. Question to ask. Why do we need financial multiplication? Why do we need financial dominion? Why should even money be talked about in church? Number one, why we need financial dominion. I've said this before, but this is repetition of some. Financial dominion helps us, helps the saint to serve God without the distraction of lack. The distraction of lack. Lack is a distraction. The Bible said we shall serve the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Mark 12, 29, 30. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, emotional strength, physical strength, financial strength, with all your strength. If you are not strong financially, how do you serve God with all your strength? If your mind is taken away by money matters, by financial lack, like this girl had to go hotel to hotel sleeping with men to make a living until God encountered her. How many people have had to do all manner of things for survival because money is not there? Without the distraction of lack, to do what you want with your God, with your time, with your resources, they gave her $100 free of charge. That one, without sleeping with anybody, she got the money. That's why money must be talked about in church. Number two, financial dominion helps us to truly love our neighbor or the less privileged like ourselves. Loving your neighbor as yourself means you do for your neighbor what you can do for yourself. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We traveled to Calabar for crusade. And then we were meant to go to Oka after Calabar. Some of our officers, ushers, medical, protocol, who followed and paid their own airfare to come, were now meant to go by road 7 hours minimum to the crusade and travel by 4 or 5 a.m. When I heard that, I said, no. Let's make an alternate arrangement. Let's get a plane to carry you. We made a plane arrangement. Short time before the plane would come. The plane couldn't come for logistic or technical issues. The one that carried us to Oka from Calabar had to return to carry the people, the usher, the protocol. That is the same way you traveled, the same way your neighbor traveled. When I asked the operator, what will it cost to go and come? He told us the cost in millions. Do you understand what I'm saying? You love your neighbor less than yourself if you don't have enough resources. The cook that cooked in our house had his children enter the same vehicle that carried our children to school, to the same school, every day that our children attended, because his salary cannot pay the school fees or follow the vehicle. I paid the school fees. If you don't have, can you give? You have not had what to eat. Will you donate to teacher? Praise the Lord. These things are so important. If you know God, your Christianity can be more practical with more resources. I'm not talking about if you don't know God. I am not talking about those looking for money to show off. I'm not talking about those looking for money to use to oppress people. I am talking about people who have a heart for God. People who love God. People who know God. If you know God and you know what you are doing with your life, your Christianity can be more practical with more resources. You can assist more people with more resources. You can touch more lives with more resources. Number three, why is financial dominion important? Financial dominion helps to fulfill the dreams and visions that God has placed in our heart. God placed a vision in your heart. Whatever the vision is, David said, he will not sleep. He will not give slumber to his eyes until he finds God a house. That was his vision. Psalm 132 verse 1 to verse 5. That vision came to pass because he had resources. See, vision without provision equals frustration. Vision without provision equals frustration. Somebody wants to become a medical student and become a medical doctor. Parents have no money to go through, to pass him through the medical school. Somebody wants to become a pilot. And it's 14 million. He doesn't have the money to go for pilot training. We have so many people on earth today frustrated because of lack of resources. That will never be your portion. A woman met me many, many years ago. She said her son was in 200 level. Second year, University of Ibadan. Medicine and surgery. But this boy was about to drop out of the university because his father is a drunkard. Drank away all the monies. And the mother said, I think she came for prayer or something. I said, it's not a prayer point. I will pick this boy. I'm a medical doctor trained. I know what it takes to get admission to medical school. How many people write JAM or try to enter? And now somebody has entered and money wants him to drop out. Not when we are here. So I picked up the boy, gave him an allowance from myself, an allowance from the church, an allowance. From second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, he graduated. Brought me his certificate. He said, sir, this is the point. I want you to hear what he said. He said, thank you for making my vision come to pass. My vision of becoming a medical doctor, thank you for making it come to pass. You know what I told him? I said, you know, the only thank you I want from you, as God helps you, pick somebody like yourself who was stranded and couldn't finish school. Pay his way through school and then tell him to pick somebody. And let that one tell another person to pick somebody. Let the chain continue. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the only one we know. What about those we don't know? How many visions got frustrated? How many people could not become what they want to become? How many ministries could not fulfill their assignment in the earth? And that is why the devil wants the church to be poor. Financial dominion helps us to fulfill the vision and the dreams that God has put in our heart. Number four, financial dominion helps us to spread God's kingdom in the earth. He said, Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. True prosperity. True prosperity. Jesus wanted to preach, and Peter spread a platform in Luke chapter 5. His business empire became the platform for Jesus to stand from where he preached. God wants to give you resources that can be platforms for the spread of the gospel. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? We went to Pakistan. I will show you the clip of Pakistan shortly. That country, anything from 96 to 98% of the predominant religion of that place. The other 3-point-something% is shared between Christian, Hindu, those who don't go to church. But you need to see what God did there in one day. We went en masse, financial resources, did missions, did medical missions, did welfare missions, preached the gospel, all free of charge, no offering taken. You will see. That can't happen with poverty. That cannot happen by praying in tongues alone. You pray in tongues, pray in sense, pray in cash. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? When was the last time anyone here went to his father-in-law's house and they say, where is dowry? You say, Shakoko Bagalaratasidi Tako Paratasata. Quantify that tongue in financial terms. That is the dowry. Wouldn't they call psychiatrists for you? Either psychiatrists or police. Or both. You went to the car shop and they said, I want to buy this Rolls Royce. They say, how much is it? Say 1-point-something billion. Where's the money? Jakokoko Paratasis. Kestovaratisi Kalaratosh Pande Galaragas. Since it is in billions, let the tongue be longer. Kandorodos. Masako Rahazani. He finished, he said, please quantify and let me know how much money that tongue is worth. And in case I need change, give me the change. In that case, they will invite both police and psychiatrists. Say, it's a criminal madman. Madman with criminal... criminal tendencies. He was criminal before he ran mad. So the crime is still inside the madness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Nobody does that. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That is why the devil wants the church to be poor. That is why they say preach holiness alone. Preach heaven alone. So that he's still as poor as the church rat. Like they used to say in those days. Because the rat in the church that time didn't even have food to eat in the church. No paper to chew. So it was a poor rat. Rat in other people's houses had food to eat. The rat in the church then had nothing to feed on. So it's poor church rat. But those days are over forever. Amen. Can you see how much can be done? Okay. How do you organize 3 crusades in 1 week? You didn't move the stage from Calabar to Oka. You didn't move the sound. You didn't move the equipment. You didn't move the LED screen. You didn't move from Oka to my degree. You didn't move from Warri to Uyo. You didn't move from Uyo to Lagos. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We get more done in a short time if you have the passion and the provision. Passion. Passion for God and the provision from God. It is mission accomplished. On our way back, I went on my knees. And I said, Lord, I want to appreciate you for making mission so struggle-free. We are not struggling to get these things done. Finish preaching, and when it is time to move, you move. When it is time to move, you move. I told the person who organized the plane for us, I said, our mission here is true. How soon can we leave here? He said, under 2 hours you can move. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your cities is spread abroad. I prophesy to somebody here that volume of resources, because it is in your heart to do the work of God. The volume of resources needed to get that work done be released for you in the name of Jesus. Be released for you in the name of Jesus. Be released for you in the name of Jesus. Number 5, financial dominion. We said this before. Helps in the building of God's sanctuary in the earth. In the building of God's sanctuary in the earth. The houses of God. We went to my degree. Dedicated. I'm sure they will show us the dedication. In that program in Calabar, we broke the ground. Big expanse of land. In Oka, we dedicated a church built by one person, a member of the church. In Maiduguri, we dedicated another church built under 1 year. Without a dime of that one, they tried to copy the glory dome in many ways if you looked at it. In 1 year, that is that kind of place. That's my degree church. I'm not sure we sent a dime. Did we send anything from here? I don't know. That's that. All this. With welfare, see well, food distribution. With borehole commissioning for water supply in the communities of the Northeast, ravaged by terrorism for over 10 years. With food supply. Without a dime taken from the crusader's offering. How do you do that? Without the help of God and the supply of God, how far can you go with a thing like this? Did you hear what I just said? How far can you go? In the name of Jesus, I speak to somebody. Every garment of wretchedness be set on fire. In the name of Jesus, every garment of begging, of borrowing, of struggle to survive, be set on fire in the name of Jesus. I decree the release of massive resources for yourself, for your family, for your children, for your next generation. You believe it, say the Lord and say amen. This is Oka built by one person. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Oka North. Oka South too has that history. That's the Oka Central itself. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Why do we need financial dominion? We say to build the houses of the sanctuaries. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to verse 3. Look at what God told concerning Cyrus. Says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings. I will open before him the 2-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. For what purpose? So I can give unto you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I'm the God of Israel. Verse 13. He said, I've raised him in righteousness. And I will direct his ways. He shall build my city. I gave him this massive volume of resources to build my city. And he shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor for reward. He's not looking for money or for payment in return. Hallelujah. That is why God will give us finances. Number six, financial dominion helps us to serve as voices and forces for the kingdom in times of need. I said that before. God wants to have people that will stand as voices when necessary, as forces for the kingdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Hallelujah. You are very wise, but bam, kudi, kosiyo. You know, in the East, somewhere there was an occasion where a lot of people were coming to give a lot of money. So a man lifted up his hand and he spoke very eloquently. By the time now people were speaking and saying what they would give, he spoke eloquently. So they were waiting for what he was to give and he said, I hereby give my moral support. So people clap for him, and then one man sat there and asked another person, ego label moral support. That is, what is the cash value? How much is moral? He said, by the time you are giving your moral support, where is the cash backing of the support? You know, there's a golden rule. There are two golden rules. The first golden rule says, what you want others to do to you, do also to them. But there is another dangerous one. It is called, those who have the gold make the rules. In most societies, it's an unstated statement. Look at the influence of Bill Gates in the world today. He's not an elected president of any country. He didn't train as a medical doctor or a microbiologist or an immunologist or a virologist or a parasitologist or an epidemiologist. But he's pushing vaccine and pushing vaccination. I will leave that for another day. Influencing nations and their presidents. He has the gold. So he's trying to make a lot of rules. We need people from the church with gold. American president has some gold himself. But there is another person beside him. That is... was visible before but has become so vocal and audacious and authoritative and a government of himself. That is why the world don't want anything good from the church. So you remain paupers and underdogs. But that devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus, I speak, I see giants, financial giants, rising out of the church, rising out of the church, rising out of the church, rising out of this church. And if you believe you are among them, shout the loudest, amen. Some of us think you have some resources. Get ready. God is about to surprise you, about to shock you, especially as it's in your heart. As it's in your heart to work for God, He's about to shock you. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. And finally, financial dominion serves to witness the goodness of God to the unbelieving world. There is something, there is a way your life will be. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't womanize, you don't manize. Right? Your unbeliever friend is smoking, is drinking, and doing all this. And you are still bigger than him. You are heavier than him. You have more resources than him. He said, wait a minute. I am serving the devil. This one is serving God. And this one is bigger than me. Then I must follow his God. When I rededicated my life, I will never forget it for life. I rededicated my life 1986, 12th of May. 39 years by this 12th of May. I had come to the Lord in 1979. But slithered back, but rededicated. When that was happening, I had an encounter. And God spoke to me. It's not. Then I said, I heard a voice, but now I can say God's word. He said, what will you lose by serving me? And I looked. I was trying to find what I will lose. Then he pointed a man to me that I know. And that man, clean man, holy man, very robust, he had means, he was enjoying his life, but was clean, godly, holy, and also had resources. He said, look at this man, what is he missing? Wow. I had no real response. He is missing nothing. As a matter of fact, I'd like to be like him. And then what stopped you? After a 2-hour encounter, I realized there was no loss. And today I can confirm there is no loss. Those that I left behind at that time are the losers. Those who couldn't follow with the Lord, they are the losers. And I saw that man. If this is Christianity, then I'm okay. I'm okay with this one, with this type. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God was, look at Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. He said, thus said the Lord, in those days shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. Even they shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you anywhere you are going to serve your God, for we have heard that God is with you. There is something people will hear about you and see in you that will make them follow your God without your preaching. That will make them want to follow you to meet your God. They see your marital stability. They see your family stability. They see your uprightness of life. They see the joy you radiate. They see the excitement that flows out of your life. They say you are not stranded. You are not a beggar. You are living comfortably and conveniently. They say all that. And then they see themselves. They say, wait a minute. Why am I wasting my life? Let me go close and find out from this man what he is doing. That is why God wants you to be a good advertiser. Many Christians are bad advertisers of the kingdom. Not consciously, some not conscious. But their life is advertising the kingdom badly. Full of sorrow, full of harassment. But that will never be your portion. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 27 verse 23. So God is good any day. There is no devil that can claim. Psalm 27 verse 13, I said, there is no devil that can claim that God is not a good God. And I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is good any day, and he wants to reflect that goodness in your life. From this moment forward, people will look at you and they will look for your God. They will follow you to your God. your community, all of them will conclude that your God is a God to serve. Your family members will conclude that your God is a God to serve. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Psalm 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They will confirm that your God is a God to serve. If you believe that, say it loud, amen. Having said all of that, I pray that I will finish this message, at least this first segment in this service. What is the way of financial multiplication? So it is established that I must have financial dominion. How do I go about it? Last week we saw the covenant, the practice of the covenant, issues of giving and issues of tithing. The tithe opens the heaven, and your givings fertilizes the ground. But tithing and giving are not enough to multiply your resources. They are not enough. Not enough. Let me make two statements and then we proceed. They are critical, but they are not enough to multiply your resources. I said two things in the first service. I said financial management is key to financial multiplication. Financial management, managing it well. Secondly, financial management is key to financial multiplication, and we said also that there are good givers who are bad managers and they end up in scarcity. It's not that the money didn't come. It's not that they didn't pay tight. They didn't give offerings, but they are bad managers of resources and they end up with scarcity. Let me say two more things in this service. First, that God is both a blesser and rewarder of good management. God is a blesser and a rewarder of good management. Two Christians, they both go to church. They both pay tithe and give offering. This one is a resources manager. This man, the other one is a resources waster. God will bless the manager and reward them for their management skills. He that has shall more be given. He that has not, even what he has shall be taken from him. I'll go to that point later. You see, Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord has not caused it to rain upon the earth. Why? There was not a man to till the ground. How will he make rain to fall where there is not one person to manage the earth? The rain will fall only for where people correctly manage the resources God gave them. Is God speaking to somebody here? God is both a blesser and a rewarder of good management. And let me say this last. Most financial management books say one thing or the other about it, but scripture makes it clear that resources avoid bad managers and surrounds good managers. Resources, finances, it runs from bad managers and it surrounds good managers. It runs, it flees. An example of a bad manager of resources was the prodigal son. In the book of Luke chapter 15, if you start from, let's say verse 13, And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. Money, those who manage resources badly, they never escape lack. Those who manage it wisely, they never escape wealth. Don't forget that. It's not, most times it's not the devil. Most times it's not God hasn't blessed. I read a scripture some time ago. I don't know if it was Luke chapter 16, verse 9 or 10. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Do you see that? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful. Do you understand that the least that you have, God is using it to judge what you will do with the much. You don't have the much yet, but he's judging you. How you, what you did with the 1 million is preventing God from sending 10 million. He said, he that is unfaithful and unjust in the least, or unfaithful in the least, is also unfaithful. If you want to say it the way that you should understand, anybody who does not manage 1,000 well will not manage 10,000 well. That is what he's saying. Anybody who does not manage 1 million well will not manage 100 million well. So God is saying, your management is limiting your multiplication. Your management prowess is limiting your multiplication opportunities. Having said all of that, what are the management modalities? My alarm has rung saying I should stop. But give me a few minutes and then we shall stop. So what do you do? Are you ready? We are about to step into the main message now. Number one, don't spend everything. Don't spend everything. Of all the monies that enter your hand, don't spend everything. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spends everything. Proverbs 21:20. Don't spend everything. Don't spend everything. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. 2 Kings 4 and in verse 2. Elisha said to the woman, what should I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And the woman said, your handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Save a pot of oil. In other words, I saved a pot of oil. I saved a pot of oil. What have you saved? What have you kept aside? Why should we not spend everything? Let me say three things. Please, from now, I may not refer back to the first service because of time. So take your time and listen to the first service message. What is the morale? One, something is put aside. To confirm the wisdom of management. It is wisdom not to spend everything. Since I am not a fool, I will put something aside. To confirm the wisdom of financial management. Second, something is put aside for the purpose Alright. Something is put aside to take advantage of sudden opportunities. Something is put aside. You have 10 million somewhere. Somebody say amen. And somebody wants to sell a house or a land, a property that is worth 50 million for 10 million. Is in a hurry to just move somewhere. Just needing 10 million. I could have given you this land free of charge, but I need a 10 million. Give me 10 million and take it. You have it available. So when the opportunity came, you are not unprepared. Something was put aside. You are not looking for where to borrow. You drew out that 10 million. Gave it to him. Picked the land. You have 50 million in your hands. You made 40 million on the spot. If you want, you can sell it and get the 50 million back. Many people don't have a storehouse. So opportunities arrive and depart, leaving them in adversity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Thirdly, something is put aside to avoid the possibility of sudden embarrassment. Sudden embarrassment. You didn't plan for it. You suddenly poured somebody's granite on the road. So you have poured my tray of granite. It is 5,000 naira. And you don't have even 1,000. They carry you up, throw you on the ground, shake you. 5,000 cannot come out. What kind of life is that? Not that you don't have 100,000 passed through your hand last month, but 5,000 is nowhere to be found. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Something is put aside. It was that pot of oil that delivered the widow from the embarrassment that came in a hurry. They wanted to take our children as bondmen. What do you have? I have a pot of oil. All right. That pot of oil is enough to rescue you and rescue your family. I said in the first service, when you begin to put something aside, you may start when you don't have enough. Am I communicating? For example, you have 100,000 naira and you need to do it. Things worth 120,000 naira that this month. You have 100,000. But what you need to spend this month legitimately is 120,000. Then why? What do you put aside? Yes, you can. You decided to operate a faith principle. To begin to tell God that even though you are not there yet, you believe that the day will come where you will have more resources than you need. And you will be putting money aside. So I am starting now. I am not waiting. So you took 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 out of that 100,000. That is still not enough to meet your need and put it somewhere. And that money is vibrating somewhere there. And begin to attract money to enter. You say he will command the blessing upon your storehouses. Your treasury, your reserve, your saving constitutes your storehouse. And if God can find that you are a man who has a storehouse, he will command the blessing to go there. Are you seeing scriptural principle? Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 8. He will command the blessing. Lord, God, you say, my son, I know you don't have enough yet to have put taken. That is, some needs wait. Some others wait. Others wait. I will handle what I can handle now. I can't kill myself. But I must obey the scripture. I will have a storehouse and I will put something there, no matter how little. I want my blessing to look for it. People, it is time for you to deliberately open Naira account, dollar account, pound account. Hello? It's time to change some Nairas into dollars and put it in the dollar account. Why? So something can look for it. So that the commanded blessing can go there. Am I communicating at all? Somebody say, God bless you. Say, bless you where? Where is your storehouse? Where is the work of your hands? I am commanding the blessing on your storehouses. I am commanding the blessing on the works of your hand. Where are they? Hallelujah. Is anybody get anything here? And this illustration I gave, please take your seat, was very critical. I said it in the first service. When this building was about to be completed, we needed hundreds of millions and 10 days to the dedication. Papa Oyedepo is coming. Daddy Gio is coming. Maurice Cerullo is coming. Kumuyi, W.F. Kumuyi is coming. Rehabonki was to come. And then we need hundreds of millions. We had money in the reserve that was like one-tenth of what was needed to complete the whole thing. Our accounts people said, should we withdraw all of that? It's in millions too, but it's in one-tenth. Should we withdraw all of that? I said, all of that can still not handle what we need. It's just 10% of what is needed. And then we break the reserve principle. No, leave it there. Let's trust God for what to finish it to come on his own. So we left it there. And what was needed came. That is where you have needs exceeding your supply and you still maintain the reserve. So I am not preaching theory. And that remained. And that reserve was never cleared. It was never pulled or cleared. It remained until it began to grow back. Or topped up. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is what to understand. That if you are waiting for where your money will be enough, then you will now have what to save. You may not reach there yet. Some are there already. But you start from where you are until you arrive at where you ought to be. So ensure that you don't spend everything as a principle and see how God will begin to surprise you. Number two, that's a Kragana there. Be investment minded, not expenditure minded. Be investment minded, not expenditure minded. In the first service, I said, the ultimate purpose of money is not expenditure. It is investment. Let me say two things. All right. I said two or three things in the first service. Like I said, I may not have the time to say all of it. What do I want you to understand? One, always endeavor to put money into what brings money back, not what takes money from you. Endeavor to do that. That is good management. Before you think of what to spend, think of where to invest. Endeavor to put money into what brings money back, not what takes money from you. I'll give you a practical example. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need a young man who doesn't have a car yet. They want to run. You think I want to give you a car? It's okay. Let me. All right. So, these three people, it's okay. It's still running, coming. It's not car I'm distributing, just. These people bought cars. Amen. This one, his car, he needs 100,000 a week for fuel. I think that is what is happening around this time. This one, his car needs 75,000. This one, his car needs 50,000. Apart from mechanics, apart from everything, he's enjoying his life. If he has enough resources to do all of that, that's perfect. And a time will come when you do that. But this also bought a car. But he is using that car and driving as a Bolt driver. As an Uber driver. He's starting life. He drives the car to church. He drives it anywhere he wants to go, but also drives the car commercially. The first three people, their car is taking money from them. This last person, his car is bringing money to him. He can use the car for what the other people are using it as well. But in addition to that, he's not bringing fresh money to buy fuel. He's not bringing fresh money to do engine oil or to do engine. The car is servicing itself. The car is running itself and putting money in his pocket. In a short while from now, he may buy a second car, get a driver. In a short while from now, he gets another car and gets a driver. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the same manner, somebody is starting his life. One got a 750 square meters in Abuja, less than 1,000. He built a very big duplex. Nothing wrong with it. This duplex is on NEPA or Abuja EDC or something, and he's paying the A grade or something, and every month he's spending like 200 or 300 of thousand on NEPA bill, and he's doing all water bill and all of that. This other person built on the same land, built also a duplex. Inside that duplex, or what, I don't know how to call that now, but inside that house, he has one room self-contained. Or two-bedroom self-contained. And he has like five or six inside that space. He himself is living in one. He rented the rest in the same space. Tenants are paying money. He's not bringing out fresh money from his pocket to service that house. After a short while, he builds another one. He builds another one. Then he moves out to the other, to one of them. And then he begins to spread. He is putting money in what brings money and enjoying his life in the process and not in what takes money. A great percentage of people today, their money is costing them more money. Alala. You didn't pay anything for this lecture. I went to dedicate a man's house. Estate. One of our elders here was with me in that dedication. Big, high-rise, story buildings. No, big. And that house, okay, let me pray for you and make you sit down. And so, go forth and bring forth. Jesus. Go forth and bring forth in Jesus' name. If I say I should fulfill the vision of Car now, there are many people here who will say, what of me? So may it be easy for you to get. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, this man I dedicated his estate, big buildings. So I said, where are you living? I was planning to hear, I'm in Asokoro, this or that. He said he's living in Karo. He had enough money to live in any other. I said, why? He said, where he's living is paying 120,000. You have built estate in millions. Today, billions. And now you are in 120. He said, yes, that it is cheaper for him like that. While this is raising the money. In a short while, he will move to something like that. But for now, he wants to be there. Do you understand? Our people, you see, one of the challenges of our generation is people want to show up in a hurry. You have not started, you have arrived. The car you are driving is bigger than your size. When you park that car in front of your rented house, it will increase house rent. Your landlord will suddenly realize, oh, this man has money. This car is 10 million naira and I'm charging him only 1.5. He will begin to tell you a long story. He will arrive and say, please, tenant, we need to see. What is this, sir? You say, you know what? I need you to park out of this house because I have a brother from America that is coming and he has to stay here. But I've been faithful, tenant. Why will you give me sudden notice? Say, okay, no problem. It's not a problem. I will need to rent another place for him. But that place is costlier than here. That's why if you have to remain here, I have to increase the rent to 2.5 million from 1.5. God, what is this? Are there witches after me from my village? Not witches. It is self-craft. The kind of car you brought and parked in front of the house increase the house rent. You should have been a landlord, but you are still renting, and the man wants to correct your head. Am I communicating at all? So there are phones you don't price. You don't have a job. You want to buy a phone of 1.5 million, 2 million. You don't have a job. Is it heaven you want to call? The kind of life that people want to live, this I don't understand. You are a jobless person. You are pricing shoe of 150,000, 200,000. What do you want to sell to buy the shoe? Yourself? Do you understand what I'm saying? No. Do you know that? As you know, I don't like to appear shabbily. I'm sure you know that. Let me not say it the other way. But when we came to town newly, I could wear any suit. Provided I felt okay. It doesn't matter where it came from. Somebody say I went to London and I was pricing this shoe. And I saw this suit and I had you in mind. So I decided to buy it for you. What is the cost? £500. 500 guinea. £500. Change it. How much am I to pay you? A grace? I send you. Look for. Please don't have me in mind like this next time. If you have me in mind, you would have bought it free of charge. I say, I have a gift for you. You say, you have me in mind that you're asking me to pay money. He will be smiling with you. He say, don't worry, carry it. When you have money, you pay. 2 days later, you will be shocked at the reaction of the same person. Life is in faces. Men are in sizes. Accept your status by time. Don't be in a hurry to show up. Don't be in a hurry to compare yourself with anybody. Don't be in a hurry to be like anybody. Just take your time with God and grow gradually. In a short time, when the Lord turn again the captivity of Zion, it will be like you are dreaming. And the people seeing you will be like you are dreaming. Now let me Let me say this to everybody. Don't be afraid to start again. If you have to start again. One man lost $1 billion in the stock market crash of 1986. Malaysian man, kind of, or something. And the next day I heard they saw him playing tennis. He said, you just lost $1 billion. How come you are comfortable? He said, I was the one who made the first billion. I haven't forgotten how to make it. I will make it again. Don't ever, you may fall, you may fail, but don't remain falling. You may fall on the ground, but remain on the floor. Stand up from the ground. Stand up from the ground and move out and step forward. Oh, Master, because the Bible said to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. As long as there is life inside you and there is breath inside you, opportunities are still available. Possibilities are still available. I don't know why I have to say this, but there is somebody here. God is giving you a second chance. A second chance in millions. A second chance in billions. A second chance in at success. Shout the loudest. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Oh Lord. Take your seat. Let me round up quickly. Hallelujah. What point are we, please? Be investment minded. Always endeavor to put money into what brings money back, not what takes money from you. Secondly, your money can either be your bread or your seed. It can be your bread or your seed. And like we said, bread is what to eat. And seed is what to sow. Can be your bread and your seed. Don't turn all the money into bread. That is what to spend, what to eat. Let there be a portion of your resources to be seed. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 10. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Bread is what you eat. Seed is what you sow. So when money enters your hand, identify the bread, identify the seed. I'm not going to eat everything. I'm going to reinvest. Seed is investment. I'm going to reinvestment. This is bread money. This is seed money. I'm going to reinvest it. You go to the village, you see farmers. What they put aside is the best grain, the best yam, the biggest one. They cut it and put it aside. For what? For the next planting season. Because they know eating the seed is eating the future. Every seed eater is a futureless person, futureless entity. Please identify that. And finally, in Genesis 26, verse 1, verse 12, and there was famine in the land, and Isaac sowed in the land. Verse 12. While people were looking for what to eat, Isaac was focused on what to invest. Am I communicating? In seasons like this, in this country right now, prices, everything is just the way it is. I won't get into details. People are looking for what to eat. At this same time, look out for where to invest, what to invest, how to invest it. When we come back next week, because I couldn't finish the message today, we are going to look at investment possibilities and all of that. But look for not what to eat, but what to sow. In the first service, I gave the story of Israel in Egypt. All the time they kept coming to Joseph, give us bread to eat, give us bread. At the end, Joseph said, I will give you seed to sow. Don't ask for bread again. I'll give you seed, sow your land. And when you harvest the seed, give a fifth part to Pharaoh and then replant your land. I think we need to look at that. Genesis 47 from verse 19 for the sake of this service. The people came to Joseph and said, wherefore, why should we die before your eyes? Both we and our land, buy us and buy our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh and give us seed that we may live. If you start from verse 15, they kept coming and asking for bread, for bread, for bread. Give us bread, give us bread. But finally, in verse 19, say, no, we have been eating bread and it has not satisfied us. Give us seed. Not what to eat now, but what to sow. That we may live and not die. That the land be not desolate. Keep going now. And then, Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priest. Now look at verse 23. Next verse. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and I have bought your land for Pharaoh. Behold, here is seed for you. I'm not giving you bread anymore. Take seed. Don't eat it. Plant the land. Invest it. Somebody say amen. One of the best things you can do for people is not food to eat, but money to invest. We'll talk about that later. Sow the land. And then keep going. And it shall come to pass in the increase when you harvest, give the fifth part to Pharaoh. That is because Pharaoh bought you. Give him his returns. Tax. Then four parts shall be your own. 80%. Out of this 80%, the first thing you are to separate is seed for the field. Not what to eat yet. The first thing you are to separate. Now, as covenant people have to tithe and offering, take something to reinvest before you talk of food for yourself and food for your household. Do you see the pattern? How many of you saw something there? The pattern is so clear. Can you follow this pattern and be a poor man? Impossible. That is a continuous chain of resources. A continuous chain of supplies. I decree today, your supplies shall not elude you. Say a louder amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I reject the expenditure mentality. I receive the investment mentality. Say amen. Finally, third thing to do is maintain financial order. Maintain financial order. My time is so much up. Two things I want to say. One is a fact. The second is a definition. One, order brings progress or acceleration. And disorder brings stagnation. Anywhere you want things to move, order them. Order. And if you want stagnation, establish disorder. What is order? I defined it on Wednesday. I'll repeat it here for number two. Order is doing things in a coordinated manner on a consistent basis. Doing things in a coordinated manner on a consistent basis. When Jesus wanted to multiply bread, he asked them to sit down in companies. Mark chapter 6 verse 39 of 50s. In John chapter 6 verse chapter 2 verse 6 to 7, when Jesus wanted to turn water to wine, there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Set means ordered. The miracle of supply happened inside that order. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Let me give an example of order. and then I end here. Already we saw it. This 100% that came to you, this 10% is my tithe. This what percent? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever percent is my free will offering. It's my giving to the poor. Maybe by the time I'm through with all of this, I've done 20% or 30%, depending on our giving. Whatever percentage. This 30%, 50% is my reserve for reinvestment. It is ordered. I have a percentage for welfare. When somebody comes on in a need, it is not the money I have reserved for reinvestment that I will pool for the welfare. Otherwise, I tamper with my future. Won't you love the person? You love the person with so much wisdom. Because the money has to multiply so that you can continue to help that person and other such people. If in an attempt to help one person, you close down your business, what wisdom is that? If you go to heaven, won't they koboko you? Order. You are delaying some things today by ordering your life to enlarge your resources so you can be more relevant to more people later. Order. Let me tell you another order. Another order is, this is what is the name of your company? Novsco Company, Limited Liability Company, Incorporated, whatever. And then your name is Noel Lesser. This is my company. This is company account. This is company finances. This is my personal account and personal resources. I am not dipping hand into the company to meet personal needs. I can buy a company car with the company money. But I'm not paying NEPA bill at home from company account. I have the demarcation between what is company and what is corporate and what is personal. As a matter of fact, I have brought myself to a point where I'm talking to a businessman now, where I have placed myself on a salary. Whether it is 1 million a month, 2 million a month, 10 million a month, whatever it is, according to the size of your organization. Out of your salary, that is where you meet your personal needs, your family's needs, extended family needs. As the company grows, your own grows. But where you put hand here, somebody came from the village, you say there's somebody sick in the village, and you didn't know that it's a wizard that wants to close your company. Signed company check. Go and withdraw 500,000. Give him from the... Except the company has a charity. It's possible. Where such things are also met from the company's charity account. Otherwise, where you don't have such demarcations, and where everything goes, a point will come where nothing goes. Where you run your life into stagnation. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody comes and say, I have this for the work of God. I say, take it to the church. Say, I'm to give to you. I say, You say work of God. I am a person, not work of God. Somebody brought some millions this year. Say, I brought this thanksgiving to God. Say, okay, take it to church. Say, it's for you. I say, no, I'm not God. Thanks to God. Take to God. That, it must be well ordered and coordinated. Don't confuse. I'm not confused. And if you are confused, I will clarify you. Are you following what I'm saying here today? What is God is God. What is church is demarcated. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Children's school fees is paid from your account, not company account. Am I talking to somebody? Wahala deal for some people. Well, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Nobody will take you to jail if it is your company and you are using the money of the company to pay everybody on the road and everybody. But a time will come where you will feel it. And heaven will look down and say, this man is disorderly. The blessing on this person can't have a future. So, you demarcate the things. The company is your own. The business is your own. But give it independence to run. All the money inside, if you are 100% owner, is your own. But order it. Let company grow. Let it develop. Let it enlarge. As it's growing, your own, what is coming to you is also growing. And you are improving. And in a short while, you have crossed tens of millions to hundreds. Hundreds to billions. See this tiny boy? Because you ordered your life. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's real. Order your life. In the midweek service, one young man said to me, thank you for what you told me. He said, my mother has been telling me that I should place myself on salary. I shouldn't use up the company's money. He said, I didn't hear. Now I am hearing it from you. There are people who would have been much bigger than where they are. But it's just chua, 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 chua. You know what they call chua, chua? Everything goes. Everything just goes. By kerosene on the road. Right? We drove from the company. Everything goes. But that is the end. Amen. I see millionaires and billionaires coming out of this house. If you are among them, shout the loudest, say amen. You are among them, shout the loudest, say amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Thank you, Lord, for your help, for your mercy. Be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I think there is one prayer we are going to pray. We are going to pray, Lord, help me with the discipline for financial management. Discipline. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father. Say it loud and say, Father.
Father.
I ask and receive the discipline for financial management.
I receive that discipline.
Today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name, I pray for everyone here today. This wisdom that has been delivered, that is being delivered, this wisdom will make you to stand out in your family, in your community, and in your generation.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat.